Chapter 23, Lot. A reading from Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 23. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said to them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. The Sodomites were a reprobate people, hardened by the perverse practice of grievous, vile sin. In Sodom, homosexuality had become the normal, dominant way of life. Men with men, women with women, leaving the natural use of the body, commonly practiced such wickedness that God determined he would destroy Sodom in his holy wrath. Sodom was a city under the judgment of God. However, there was one righteous man in that city, and God, who will not destroy the righteous with the wicked, would not destroy Sodom until he had delivered righteous Lot from the city. The historical record of that deliverance is found in Genesis 19. Two angels came to Sodom to destroy the Sodomites and to deliver Lot and his family. The men of Sodom, moved by perverted lust, attempted to rape those two men, who were angels in human form, who had come as God's messengers on the first night they were in town. Lot appealed to those beastly men not to commit such wicked deeds, but they paid no attention to him. Until this time, Lot had managed to get along with the Sodomites by compromise. That is the only way a righteous man can get along with godless men. So Lot, thinking that the prostitution of his daughters would be less vile than the homosexual rape of the men in his house, offered to give his virgin daughters to those desperately evil men. They laughed in his face and started to break into his house. When they did, the two men God had sent pulled Lot inside and struck the men of Sodom with blindness. Then those messengers of mercy warned Lot to take his family and flee from the city, saying, The Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot, being aroused with fear, went to warn his sons-in-law, but to them he seemed like one who mocked. What a sad, sad story. When Lot spoke for God, when he attempted to convey the message of God to his daughters and sons-in-law, they thought he was trying to play a joke on them. Having seen his life, they could not hear his words. Yet Lot stands before us in Scripture as a marvelous picture of God's grace. This is particularly illustrated for us in Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 23. In verses 15 and 16, we see the blessed violence of grace. When the angels of God hastened Lot and commanded him to flee from Sodom, he lingered. Therefore, the angels took Lot, his wife, and his two daughters by the hand and brought them out of the city. Grace snatches men and women from destruction. Lot hesitated, but grace hastened. If God had not been merciful to him, snatching him from the city, Lot's lingering would have been his ruin. The same is true of every believer. We escaped the clutches of Satan only because God, our Savior, snatched us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into his kingdom of light. In verse 17, there is a word of instruction for all believers. Though he had been delivered from Sodom, Lot was still in danger. He was not to rest in the plain. He was to escape for his life to the mountain. Those of us who have been delivered by God's almighty grace from the bondage and dominion of sin are given an urgent word of instruction. Escape for thy life. Ever flee from sin, Satan, and the world. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Never imagine that you have apprehended that for which you have been apprehended by Christ as long as you live in this world. Look not behind thee, forgetting those things which are behind. Reach forward to those things which are before you. Count all things but loss for Christ. Do not hanker after the world. Flee from it. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Set your affection on things above. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Having put your hand to the plow, do not look back. It is written, "If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Verses 18 through 21 show us something about the weakness of faith. What a sad picture this is. It was a great weakness in Lot that he preferred Zoar, the city of his choosing, to the mountain of God's choosing. Fearing that he could not make it to the mountain, he desired to dwell in Zoar. He recognized God's grace in his deliverance from Sodom, but he did not trust God's grace to take him all the way up to the mountain. Even at this time, Lot wanted to enjoy the ease and comfort of the world. Here is a sad, painful truth, but a truth nonetheless, a truth that every child of God will learn by painful experience in this world. True faith is mixed with much unbelief. Verses 21 through 23 show us the cause of God's long-suffering. God is long-suffering with the wicked and preserves them in life for the salvation of his own elect. There are some sinners in this world who must and will be saved. God will save his own elect. Christ will have his redeemed. The Holy Spirit will regenerate and call every sinner chosen by God in eternity and redeemed by Christ at Calvary. Until the last of God's elect is called, he will not destroy this world. What care, wrote Matthew Henry, what care God takes for the preservation of his people? The winds of judgment are held till God's servants are sealed. Two words found in verse 16 really summarize the life of this man Lot. He lingered. The angels of God stood before him, calling him to take his family and flee from Sodom. Yet, as God was preparing to rain fire and brimstone upon the city, even then we are told, he lingered. Those two words are most solemn. They give us much food for thought. They ought to sound like blasts of a trumpet in our ears. They should cause us all to sit up and pay attention. Who was this man Lot? Many seem to think that Lot was a bad man, a wicked worldling, a child of the devil, but he was not such a person. Lot was a righteous man, made righteous by the grace of God, born of God, washed in the blood of Christ, robed in his righteousness, though he often behaved in a manner not worthy of his calling in Christ. Lot was a man with very good beginning in the way of faith. Very few begin as well as Abraham's nephew Lot. He clearly learned much, sacrificed much, and showed great promise. If Lot had only continued as he began, we would not question the excellence of his character. He left Chaldea with his godly uncle Abram. He forsook his youthful companions, believing the promise of God. He worshipped God with Abram. Whenever Abram built an altar to the Lord God, Lot worshipped at that altar. Whenever God spoke to Abram, Lot anxiously and carefully listened as Abram taught him the word of the Lord. Lot entered into the land of promise with Abram. Lot was a true believer, a child of God. He was a converted man, a justified soul, or heir of heaven. Lot truly was a righteous man. The Holy Spirit places this matter beyond all controversy in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. God himself has given us good evidence of his grace in Lot. He was a man who lived in a wicked place, seeing and hearing the evil all around him, yet he was not a wicked man. Lot had his faults, plenty of them, but he was distinctly different from the men of Sodom. He vexed his righteous soul with the unlawful deeds he beheld all around him. He was wounded, grieved, distressed, hurt, and angered by the deeds of his neighbors. Lot had the same attitude towards the society in which he lived as David had to his. Furthermore, Peter tells us that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Many of us are shocked by certain acts of evil the first time we see them, but after a while we become accustomed to the abomination. This was not so with Lot. He was continually grieved by the wickedness he saw around him. This is the thing I want you to see. God's saints in this world have many blemishes. We are sinners still. We do not despise the gold because it is mixed with dross, and we must not undervalue the grace of God in a man because it is accompanied by corruption. Lot suffered much because of his lingering, and his family suffered even more, but he was a true believer. Though he lingered in Sodom, he is seated today in the blessed circle of the redeemed, around the throne of Christ. There he sits, elect, chosen by God, and precious. He is redeemed, washed, and forgiven by the blood of Christ, born again, sanctified and glorified by the Spirit of grace, side by side with Abraham, and heir of the same glory. What did Lot do? He lingered. What a short sentence that is to tell us so much about this man. Consider these words in the context in which they are found, and I am sure you will agree that Lot's behavior was shocking. He lingered. It seems to me that this is the most shocking thing revealed about him. His greed and covetousness, his drunkenness, his incest are all less shocking than this. He lingered. Lot knew the awful condition of the city in which he lived. The cry of its abomination was great before the face of the Lord, yet he lingered. Lot knew the fearful judgment coming down upon all within the city, yet he lingered. He knew that God is a God of righteousness, justice, and truth, yet he lingered. He knew and believed that judgment was both real and imminent. He tried to persuade his sons-in-law to flee the wrath of God, yet he lingered. Lot saw the angels of God standing by, warning him and his family to flee, yet he lingered. He heard the command of God by his messengers, yet he lingered. C.H. Spurgeon said, Lot was slow when he should have been fast, backward when he should have been forward, trifling when he should have been hastening, loitering when he should have been hurrying, cold when he should have been hot. This seems incredible. It is shocking beyond imagination. He lingered. Lot's shocking behavior is recorded in the Scriptures for our instruction. There are many in the Church of Christ today who are very much like Lot. We all know far more than we practice. We all linger here too much. We say we believe in heaven, but we pursue the world. We say we believe in eternal punishment, but seem to be bothered little by the fact that thousands are going to hell, even many of our own families. We know that the time is short, but live as though it were long. How little we redeem the time. We know that there is a war waging between light and darkness, but we appear to be at peace. We know that there is a race to run, but we seem to be content to sit still. We know that judgment is coming, but we appear to be fast asleep. We all appear to live as though consecration to Christ is extreme, and burning zeal for His glory is fanaticism. We all shrink from self-denial, personal sacrifice, and wholehearted commitment. Our Lord says, "Take up your cross and follow me." He commands us to cut off the right hand that hinders us and pluck out the right eye that is set upon the world. He tells us that the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life everlasting. Yet we try our best to make the cross lighter, to nourish the hindering hand, salve the worldly eye, widen the gate and broaden the way. Like Lot, we linger. We try constantly to hold both the world and Christ. We know what is right. We know the command of Christ. We have heard our Savior say, "Love not the world. No man can serve two masters." Yet we linger. Does this apply directly to you? Be honest with yourself before God. Perhaps you ran well at one time, but now you linger. Once your heart burned with love for Christ, now though your heart wakens, you sleep. Like Lot, you linger. Like Peter, you follow the Lord afar off. Your soul is miserable. Linger no more. Why did Lot linger? This is an important question. If we are to learn from Lot's lingering and be warned by it, we need to know the cause of it. To know the cause of a problem is the first step to finding its cure. Maybe you have no fear of lingering, yet let me remind you of Lot's history. If you choose Lot's path, you are sure to reap his character. The Scriptures show us several things that led to Lot's lingering. Let me mention two things. First, he made the wrong choice early in life. Abram and Lot had a dispute because of Lot's greed. When they parted company, Lot chose the land near the town of Sodom. The men of Sodom, who would be his neighbors, were wicked beyond all thought, but the pastures were fertile and green. He chose by sight, not by faith. Like Eve before and Achan after, he saw, he coveted, and he took. He did not seek the counsel of the Lord. He looked only upon the things of time. He seemed to have thought little of eternity. He was concerned about profit, but thought little of the glory of God. the welfare of his soul, and the salvation of his household. There was nothing in Sodom to help Lot or his family towards heaven. There was no prophet to minister to his soul, no place where God was worshipped, and no brethren to encourage him or for him to encourage. Lot made his choice solely upon the basis of worldly desires. The move towards Sodom just seemed more profitable. Second, Lot mixed with godless, unbelieving men. When there was no need for him to do so, he chose the men of Sodom for his companions. In the first instance, we are told that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then, we see him living in Sodom. Perhaps he moved to Sodom to please his wife, perhaps to please his daughters, perhaps to please himself. We do not know. But one thing is certain, we never lack an excuse to do what we are determined to do. This is the cause of Lot's lingering. He made the wrong choice early in life. He chose the companionship of the ungodly. When a child of God does these two things, we are sure to hear unfavorable reports concerning his soul. There is no more sure way to danger than to make the wrong choices early in life and to engage in companionship with ungodly men and women. Remember Lot, is the warning Christ gives to all who desire to follow him. Beware of Lot's choices and the consequences of them when choosing a companion, a career, when deciding where to live and raise your family, or when thinking about taking a better position. We have no indication that Lot approved of the Sodomites or that he ever participated in their wickedness. He loved the riches of Sodom. Yet, in order to have the riches of Sodom, he was willing to spend his life among the Sodomites. What a pity. If you lay your head on the lap of the world, you need not be surprised if you wake one day like Samson and discover that your strength has gone, that the Spirit of God has left you. What was the result of Lot's behavior? What does it matter if Lot lingered in Sodom? After all, he was saved, he was justified, he went to heaven when he died. Let me show you the folly of such wicked reasoning. Though a righteous man himself, Lot did no good among the inhabitants of Sodom. He lived in Sodom for many years. He had great opportunity to do much good, but he had no influence upon the men of the city for good. No one there had any respect for him. No one respects a man who compromises himself, his principles, and his God for gain. Not one righteous person other than Lot himself could be found in Sodom. None of his neighbors believed his testimony. None of his friends honored his God. None of his servants feared their master's God. In short, his life had no influence for good. His words carried no weight. His faith was not followed. His God was not honored. Lot did not help any of his family towards heaven. Not one person in his household believed God. He brought no honor to Christ, his God and Savior, in his generation. I cannot find one large-hearted, noble-minded, or self-sacrificing thing he ever did in his entire life. When he died, Lot left nothing behind that would indicate that he ever knew God at all. If we did not have Peter's record, if all we read was the account Moses gives of his life, we would be forced to conclude that Lot was a lost man. We should not be surprised that Lot's life turned out as it did. Worldly, lingering souls are never useful instruments for good to others. They have no influence for good among men. They bring no honor to Christ while they live. But what should we learn from Lot? Lot was a sad character, a frustration, and a disappointment. But if ever there was a man who stands before us in Holy Scripture as a picture of grace, that man is Lot. His life declares, salvation is of the Lord. The only righteousness he had was the righteousness which God, by his grace, had given him. Grace imputed the righteousness of Christ to him. Grace imparted the righteousness of Christ to him. Grace preserved righteousness in him. Lot was delivered from divine judgment not by his free will, but by God's free grace. Truly, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. If we are God's children, we can be assured that he will have our hearts. He may break our hearts, but have them he will. He may bring us to earthly ruin, but he will have our hearts. He may take away all earthly comfort and joy, but he will have our hearts. Linger no more. For the glory of Christ, linger no more. If you would be useful to Christ, linger no more. Oh, let us return to our God now. Life does not linger. Death does not linger. Judgment does not linger. Hell does not linger. Let us linger no more. It's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Linger no more. Here are notes from Pastor Fortner with regard to chapter 23. Homosexuality is still an abomination to God. It is the perverse practice of wicked men with perverted hearts and minds, acting in a manner that is against nature. Wherever homosexuality becomes commonly accepted, reprobation is evident. Any society that permits, accepts, and condones the practice of homosexuality is under the judgment of God. Strife between brethren is often, if not usually, about money, wealth, and earthly possessions. Abraham was a godly man. He chose the way of peace. Lot was a greedy man. He chose the way of prosperity. His choice was indescribably costly.